AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
News update.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Wisconsin's Wildlife Agency says he's happy with the state's revised wolf management plan. Nate Wegehout reports.
The latest draft says anywhere from 800 to 1,200 wolves is the right number to keep Wisconsin's wolf population healthy and sustainable. The Department of Natural Resources Board met in Viroqua Wednesday. DNR Secretary Adam Payne told the gathering the plan is based on good science. Not everyone agrees. WisPolitics quotes people at the meeting who complain about feeling left out of the process. Farmers, hunters, and conservationists all want to say. The DNR is accepting written comments through September 12th. The DNR's board is set to vote on the plan in late October. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Recent testing shows Wisconsin's drinking water has safe levels of PFAS. Here's Brittany Merlot.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources tested 800 public water systems, and they all meet the state's drinking water standards. However, environmentalists say 4% of community water supplies in Wisconsin have PFAS levels that don't meet proposed federal standards. Wisconsin's new drinking water standard has been in effect for a year. Since then, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed a standard that's 17 times stricter than Wisconsin's. The state is spending $125 million over the next 2 years to address PFAS contamination statewide. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Election workers say they are still being harassed by people who think Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election. David Becker is with the Center for Election Innovation and Research.
They are still dealing with this stuff. They are still suffering. They are still being harassed. They are still being attacked. That's the state we're in now, in early August, 15 months before a presidential election.
Becker says Americans are eager for an outcome in the court cases stemming from 2020. When that happens, he says he hopes Republicans and Democrats come to some agreement.
That we as Americans can say, regardless of who engaged in these activities, if they are proven to be true beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, if those are true, can't we all as Americans agree that this has gone too far, that this should never happen again?
Associated Bank will close 5 branches in Milwaukee, Alloway, and Chicago in November. Once those offices close, the Green Bay-based bank will have 196 locations left. Associated says more people are doing their banking online these days on their personal devices. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Mad Radio WMDX, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know in the Madison area. A former Sun Prairie police officer faced.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A new executive director has been named at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Gretchen Powers brings over 20 years of theater experience to her new role. She served on the WRCT board for the past 6 years and acted, directed, and fulfilled many technical roles in the theater. She's also one half of Hopo Productions, the group that organizes the Summer Youth Theater. In her new role, Gretchen Powers will be responsible for the overall leadership and management of WRCT. There's only 3 games left in the regular season for the Rafters. They're sitting at second place behind the Mallards, who have 21 wins and 14 losses in the second half of the season. The Rafters are 19-14. Right behind them are the Green Bay Rockers at 18-15. After tonight's game against the Mallards, the Rats will play the Rockers Friday and Saturday at Witter Field. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
The Brewers still atop the Central Division. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers remain in first place in the NL Central after their 7-6 win over the Rockies in 10 innings. The crew have the day off before they head to Chicago for a series against the White Sox. Corbin Burns on the mound tomorrow night, Brandon Woodruff on Saturday. It'll be interesting to see who the Brewers stick with as starters down the stretch. Yesterday, Adrian Hauser gave up 4 runs on 5 hits, a home run, 1 walk, and struck out 5 over 5 innings. Manager Craig Counsell.
you know, the first inning, it's 8 strikes and, you know, really good. First 3 innings was, you know, it was almost similar to Wade's outing in Washington. And the first 3 innings were so quick, you know, and then they're kind of the middle of their order. Their left-handed part of the order did a nice job against them and took some good swings.
NFL, the New York Jets and Carolina Panthers joint practices canceled due to bad weather. The debut of Hard Knocks with Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets had some of the highest ratings in the history of the HBO TV show. We're in Cincinnati, where the Packers and Bengals are getting ready for tomorrow night's game, kickoff at 6 o'clock. I asked Matt LaFleur if essentially the joint practices are for the players who have already made the team and the preseason games are for the ones who have not.
Yeah, I think it's in terms of the preseason, absolutely. I mean, that's part of the reason I like these types of practices, especially going against a really good football team, is it affords you, you know, the maximum number of reps without guys going to the ground in what, I guess, a more protected area.
There was that fight in practice that involved Packers left guard Elgton Jenkins, John Runyon, on what was discussed before making the trip down here to Ohio.
Yeah, we talked about there's obviously going to be no fighting. That's tough to control sometimes, and I think kind of let the first one go and then going back. You know, people are going to push, but we're not going to let that slide, especially with our guys. So got to make sure we have each other's back, and we did that, and we're not letting them, you know, take cheap shots at our guys either.
That's Packers right guard John Runyon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Thursday, happier, happy hour. Dom, you feeling happy?
I'm happy, man. Happy Friday Eve to you. This week is flying by.
Dom, just saw a newly reported story. Our friends at WisPolitics, you know, the big gerrymandering lawsuit that was filed immediately after Janet Protasiewicz joined the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, the Republicans, they've hired counsel, Dom, at our expense, of course. Private counsel, not state legislative counsel, not counsel from the Department of Justice, but their own counsel, Dom, at our expense. Yeah, I wonder if Troupas is on that list, or perhaps Troupas is conflicted because he has his own freaking criminal defense attorney, Dom. Anyways, just want to point out, LeMahieu and Boss Foss will control the purse strings. All the expenditures on these private counsels at your and I expense, Dom. Glad they're such prudent managers of money. Like,
you know, the last
time, see what they did with Foxconn?
Robin Voss hired an attorney. It was what? Gableman.
Right? I think he described him later as an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin.
But he still paid. We're still paying. I mean, we still, as a state, going to court on these issues. I mean, it's easy, Voss, when it's other people's money, but that's really not fiscally responsible.
Isn't it easy, though? I mean,
it sure is.
Sue everyone, man. Try all the drugs. You know, speaking of our buddy Rojo, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Well, what about Rojo? You asked me to ask you about Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin, former friend of the Devil's Advocates. What's he doing today?
Well, he's on a inferior righty-whitey talk radio program, national.
Of course. I mean, that's what he does. He spends more time on the radio with, you know, right wingers than he does actually, you know, doing any governing.
Well, he was on with the Clay and the Buck. They're sort of the midday, the new Rush Limbaugh pair.
Oh, yes, yes. Hey, by the way, you miss Rush yet?
Nope.
No.
How about you?
How about
Tucker? You miss him?
Tucker's been off the air for a while. What about Tucker? You miss Tucker?
No.
Okay.
No, miss Jesse Tucker. Waters gives me someone to hate each and every night.
Yeah.
So who were we talking about again, though?
Ron Johnson on Clay and Buck.
Oh, yeah. How could I possibly forget the esteemed senator, the senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin? And, you know, he pointed out to the American people today in this interview format, Dom, who the real problem is. Why, it's Fauci, of course. Because, you know, he's all down. I mean, he went through this whole litany of ways that vaccines have hurt people and done everything from Legionnaire's disease to, I forget. But he went through a whole litany of things, mitochondrial things. And anyways,
I want my science, you know, interpreted and given to me from Senator Ron Johnson.
And not Anthony Fauci. You know, what's his face? The guy from Kentucky, the other bad one from Kentucky, Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Rand Paul apparently wants charges brought against Anthony Fauci for lying to Congress, for funding, I forget what it's called, but effectively where they try to make a virus worse to see what the potential outcomes could be in a controlled lab environment. Now, Fauci said the U.S. doesn't fund that. Rand Paul says, yes, we do. And in fact, today went after the U.S. attorney and asked him to go after Fauci and bring charges. And Ron Johnson seconds that emotion, Dom.
Of course he does. Ron Johnson is all down for the cray-cray. If you can come up and hear about the most outrageous conspiracy and whatever, that's Ron Johnson. He'll buy it.
Well, guess
if
what?
You're selling it, he's buying it. Did he talk about hydroxychloroquine? Or, I mean, what
well,
the
some of the
ones,
early though? Remedies, we could have saved hundreds of thousands of American lives, Dom. If only they'd have let us get the truth out there. Early care with the hydroxychloroquine and the, what was the horse paste again?
Ivermectin.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would have.
Do you think it would have helped?
Saved hundreds of thousands of lives, Dom.
Yeah,
that's
Donald
why.
Donald Trump got the vaccine, right? Donald Trump takes credit, right, for pushing the vaccine.
Warp speed.
As quickly as, as quickly as they did. Donald Trump took the vaccine, not publicly. He could have. He didn't. Because, of course, he thrives on chaos. He knew what COVID was all about. He knew it was bad. I mean, he shared it with Bob Woodward. He just didn't share it with the American people. But yeah, go ahead. Keep listening to Ron Johnson.
You know what? Ron will be doing a pre-debate event, apparently, with Clay at the Pabst Theater the night before the presidential debate on August 23rd in Milwaukee. Now, you and I, Dom, I understand, will be across from the Deer District. We'll be across from the Pfizer Forum. You and I doing our live broadcast. We'll have to see how we're going to involve our pal, Maggie Dawn, and colleagues such as Todd Alba. I know he's invited some people from the Lincoln Project. It's kind of going to be a big deal, Dom, this presidential debate.
It's too late, I'm sorry, to get the big floating baby Trump thing, right?
But might maybe be. We can get it for. Well, that might be the only Trump appearance in town. But I haven't given up hope.
Work something out for the convention. I mean, that should be hanging out definitely over the city of Milwaukee.
Well, they did Trump ask. They did. Clay and Busk did ask Rojo the Clown. I mean, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, whether or not he thought that Trump should come here and be part of the debate field. And Ron gave one of his typical, well, you know, I haven't really looked at that. Didn't answer that one. But here was his advice for the Republican Party yesterday. We tried to poll our audience. You know, how do you get the kids involved, Dom?
How do the Republicans make inroads with the young voters?
How do you expand the tent? Well, here's what you don't do. Those dumb ads, says Ron Johnson. I'm thinking those racist dumb ads saved your bacon against Mandela Barnes. You only won the state by like 26,000, 28,000 votes, over 3 million cast. Those dumb ads saved your bacon, Ron. Of course, he does right-wing talk radio with some frequency.
Some frequency is a very, very nice way to put it.
But Ron's advice to the Republican Party, spend your money putting people in the field. That's what the Democrats do. Emphasis on the rats.
Democrats.
You know how they say it, Dom.
Democrat.
But apparently, if you just go out and knock on doors and tell them, you know, we got great policies. What are they? Anti-abortion, anti-legalization of marijuana, anti-healthcare, pro-petroleum. You know, this climate change thing.
Pro-gun. Get your guns.
Oh, yeah, we got a gun for every pot, Dom. 40 acres and a gun. 844-967-2789. You know, I don't miss Ron on the airwaves. He didn't miss much, folks. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, good news today. Got the chest tube out today, so I'm pretty happy right now.
All right, good job.
With the Wisconsin Election Commission, it points out the weakness and the fragility and of that institution because it's not nonpartisan like it used to be. I mean, here you have probably a Republican of integrity, and because she's not going along with the big lie that they're drubbing on her. I mean, that it should actually be, because party isn't actually mentioned in our original constitution or, in our state constitution, yet, that we run into this kind of thing. I mean, this should go back to, to an independent commission where it's retired judges, and then you wouldn't have this foofra going on right now where it's party loyalty over everything else. And when you have
Mark, they're eating their own. They're splitting this party because of it, right? And you have some who are like, you look at the evidence in front of them who are actually involved in the election process. You know what I mean? People with, historical, with knowledge, institutional knowledge of how these things work, and they happen to be Republicans. That's okay. Doesn't mean they're automatically fraudsters and liars, but apparently the fraudsters and liars in the Republican Party have an issue with the other Republicans who don't go along with the fraudsters and the lying. That's the split. They're eating their own. The Republican Party is in disarray, and they deserve every bit of it. I would hope Marge and some of these other Republicans, she said, what, I vote Republican, I've always voted Republican, but you're kicked out of your own party. Like I said earlier, you didn't leave the Green Lake County GOP. The Green Lake County GOP kicked you out. They left you. So who are you voting for now, Marge? What are you doing now? I mean, I get what you're saying, and I the reporting, she's into tears, and it bothers me, man. Older lady just, doing this thing, working for her community, involved, everything you want someone to be, brought to tears because her former party, her former friends, family, extended family, in the party, not necessarily personal family, treating her like this, ostracizing her, hell, taking calls and, as she interpreted the message, to be threatening. Marge, 7-year-old Marge, voted Republican her whole life. That's not good enough for the mega fascists. You see what I'm saying? You see what's happening here, Marge? So come on over. Hang out with us for a while. You don't got to – I get it. You're not going to vote for Bernie. Okay. But just don't vote for them. Don't do that.
Should she abstain from voting?
Do you believe them?
She's still part of the cult, Tom. She's still going to vote that way, according to Marge. She's still voting Republican. She's been doing it all her life.
We're giving her permission not to do so. It's okay, Marge. Call us.
Would she have to get rid of the keep off my grass sign? You damn kids.
she can keep it.
Derek Van Orden's got one? In the district, grass. Back at the house, get wherever the that grass. Is. Damn kids. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dodd joining us soon, right, Dom?
Yes, 844-967-2789. Let's get to the ProPublica piece. Did you know Clarence Thomas? He goes on a lot of trips. We'll be right back. 844-96-PARTY.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well,
trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 59, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, high temperatures reach up to 81. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night, lows level off around 58, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Devil's Advocates. Tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone line open 844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn of Maggie Dawn Show going to join me in studio before her show at 6. I'm going to hang out with Maggie and talk a lot of trash. Hope you stick around for it. 5:30.
Dominic, I've got the world walking by my window. We got an Alice Cooper concert here in Madison on State Street, Overture Center. What better venue than the beautiful Overture Center for Alice Cooper? And then we got the night market, man. The world walking by the window here. You know, I got distracted. I'm going to try to keep my eye on the prize here. Bring it home. Dynamo Dave, we see you. Be patient for just a minute. But, Dom, I don't know if I should be encouraged by this news, but I think this is going to cause some trouble. You know, the Utah guy that apparently was shot to death by FBI agents over threats made against President Joe Biden was turned into the FBI by Truthy Social. This is what is being reported. A tip from Donald Trump's social media site led to the fatal FBI shooting of a Utah man amid an investigation over allegations he threatened Joe Biden, according to NBC News. Truthy Social reported Craig DeLu Robertson to law enforcement after he made threats in March against Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, the outlet reported. Wasn't that the sort of behavior Trump's encouraging with his post? But I read on. The FBI raided Robertson's Provo, Utah home after the Utah man had made threats against Biden ahead of the president's scheduled visit. Robertson was killed during an exchange with authorities who arrived at his home around 6:15 a.m. on Wednesday to serve a search warrant, according to the NBC. An armed Robertson pointed his weapon at agents and failed to respond to their commands before they fatally shot him. Mess around and find out. Dom, Truthy Social turned in this guy that would mean harm to Joe Biden.
My understanding, Crudy, this is not the first time the FBI had conversations with the now deceased. They spoke to him before. He's been prevalent at his threats. So what, something about going to dust off the sniper rifle. And good for Truth Social, I guess, for, you know, reporting presumably a deranged elderly man. The guy's in his 70s. They've had contact with him before. It obviously tragic that ends this way. But where is he getting this motivation from? You know what I'm saying?
Like, also where? From the Truthy Social and the post of the Cheeto Messiah.
Definitely influenceable by, you know, these right wing and Donald Trump. And let's just face it, man. Donald Trump is getting more and more. I mean, what, Nancy going to hell? We're all going to hell. Donald Trump's bringing everybody to hell. This is terrible. Can't happen. You know, the Congress must intercede. The Supreme Court must stop this. And the guy's, he's flailing. And the heat just keeps getting hotter.
844-967-2789. Our pal Dynamo Dave from Duluth, Minnesota, where they got legal weed now, Dave. Welcome.
Hey, what's all going on, Dave?
Hey. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I got about four questions for you, men. One, just, you think if it was Obama or a guy with Obama skin pigmentation who did all the things that Trump's been indicted for, whether he, this person, would be on the loose? Wouldn't there be a mugshot? And wouldn't this person actually kind of be locked up or having to put up bail and stuff like that? What do you think?
Well, you know, Trump's pushing his luck right now, I think, Dave.
If it was the Trump administration, I mean, Donald Trump got elected in large part from his messaging. Dynamo Dave, what was it? We heard it all the time. Lock her up. Lock her up. I mean, what do you think? I mean, the guy actually tried to lock up his political opponent. So certainly, you know, would Bill Barr go to that extreme? Well, Bill Barr went to a lot of extremes to help Donald Trump. Hopefully, we'll never have to find out, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Right on, man. Thanks for the call. 844-967-2789. Kurt, let me just throw that a little bit from the ProPublica piece before our guest, Maggie Dawn, shows
on
up
the
at
corrupted
5:30.
Clarence Thomas guy?
During his three
the
decades.
Off-traveled
the
Clarence?
Court, Clarence Thomas has enjoyed steady access to a lifestyle most Americans can only imagine. That's all I want, man. Steady access to the lifestyle I want. I don't want to pay for it, right? I don't be responsible for it. I just want access to it. I mean, why own it when you can get it for free? A cadre of industry titans and ultra-wealthy executives have treated him to flung vacations aboard their yachts, ushered him into the premium suites at sporting events, and sent their private jets to fetch him, including, on more than one occasion, an entire 737. It's a stream of luxury that is both more extensive and from a wider circle than has been previously understood.
You know, we've been invited on Kuchka's boat a few times. At least I've been invited a few times. You've probably
been
invited,
man.
A few
Kuchka
more.
Hasn't had a boat in years, man.
That's probably why I don't get invited anymore. You can come on my boat. I'll invite you on the Jordan Love boat, man.
Yeah, how big is that boat?
At least 16 feet.
My Cadillac, my 1976 Cadillac, is 18 and a half feet long. Crudy.
I bet you mine burns less gas.
Like clockwork, Thomas's leisure activities have been underwritten by benefactors who share the ideology that drives his jurisprudence. Their gifts include, wait for it, at least 38 destination vacations, including a previously unreported voyage on a yacht around the Bahamas, 26 private jet flights, plus an additional 8 by helicopter, a dozen VIP passes to professional and college sporting events, typically perched in the skybox, 2 stays at luxury resorts in Florida and Jamaica, man, and 1 standing invitation to an uber-exclusive golf club overlooking the Atlantic coast.
Well, Dom, if you had a sugar daddy, where wouldn't you travel to?
I mean, why not? Why not? Free to me.
Come back with us. Maggie Dawn, I hope she's not charging by the hour. More Devil's Advocates, the happier, truthy Thursday happy hour. It rolls on.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Join the Southwood County YMCA for Teen Wellness Day on Saturday, August 12th from 12:30 to 3 p.m. This event is open to youth ages 11 to 17 years old and costs $10 for members and $15 for non-members. Pre-registration is required. Register at the Y or online at swcymca.org. Join the Rudolph Old Tractor Club for the Rudolph Tractor Show and Car Cruise-In on Saturday, August 12th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. This event features free admission and events such as Touch a Truck, Tractor Parade, and Pedal Pulls. Proceeds from the show will support Mid-State Technical College scholarships and other local community initiatives.
It's that time of year again. The fall sports season is about to kick off, and you'll want the best seat in the house so you can get in on all the action. But when it's time to go, you know, to use the facility, you want the best seat there too. That's why you should call Crockett Septic. Crockett Septic can provide porta-potty rentals for a competitive price and provide reliable service to ensure your porta-potty seat will always be a good one too. Wait a second, what if you stay home to watch the game? You better make sure your throne is ready to go, especially if you have friends coming over. Many area counties right now are sending out reminder cards that it's time to get your septic pumped. So call Crockett Septic and they'll take care of that right away so you'll have the best seat in the house.
Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw!
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
New lenses? Buy one and re-lens your favorite. Stop by Ula Eyewear in the Hilldale Shopping Center and seize this offer before it's gone. See clearly, save clearly. At Ula Eyewear, Madison's premier eyewear shopping destination. Exclusions apply.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Truthy Thursday edition. Dom, a happier happy hour rolling through it, expecting Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show, Fighting Traffic. She'll join us very shortly, I suspect. But Dom, I got a little break in news from themadison.com. Not exactly what I'd want to hear in terms of lawsuits, but the Wisconsin fake Trump electors case to proceed to trial next year. Now, this is a civil action because we've yet to find a prosecutor with the cojones to charge criminally here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom.
Well, we don't know. Perhaps Josh Call is on top of it. Can't comment on pending litigation. Maybe there's something. Michigan, did their arraignment of their fraudulent electors today.
Dominic, a civil lawsuit against the 10 Republicans who signed paperwork purporting that Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election is heading to trial next year after a Dane County judge largely rejected the Republicans' request to toss the case. Throw it out, please. We didn't mean to do it. Throw it out. Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington on Thursday denied the defendant's motion to dismiss claims alleging that the 10 Wisconsin Republicans and two attorneys who advised them broke multiple laws, including impersonating a public official, public nuisance, and engaging in a conspiracy, Dom. Here's a quote. Wisconsin voters have been waiting for nearly 3 years to hold the fraudulent electors accountable for their misconduct, according to Scott Thompson, an attorney with the firm Law Forward, which filed the case early last year. He said in a statement, their coordinated and deliberate effort to subvert our democracy must not happen again. Today's ruling is the next step in that process. Step in the right direction, Dom. Now, with Remington's order, the case will move forward to a September 2024 trial. Less urgent. These guys aren't on the ballot, per se. Remington's order comes about a week after the U.S. Department of Justice filed federal charges against Trump. Oh, I had noticed. Was Trump indicted or something?
What? Again?
About a week after the U.S. Department of Justice filed federal charges against Trump as part of a probe into the former president's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential, a scheme that relied heavily on actions taken by Republican electors in a handful of states, especially Wisconsin. Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, said in a statement that he's confident attempts to penalize people who were tricked will fall short. Who was tricked? Who was tricked, Mark?
Who's tricked?
Who's being Andrew tricked? Hitt?
Was Andrew Hitt tricked when he said, this is a terrible plan, it's going to fail miserably? Where do I sign? Was he tricked? They weren't tricked. They went along willingly. And that's what the evidence shows. How is this a civil case and not criminal?
I have a statement, a quote, if you will. Pardon me. All action taken to produce an alternative slate was only done to preserve an ongoing legal strategy that I would point out had been exhausted like an hour before they actually committed this crime. Crudy's term, crime. I read on. They were only trying to preserve an ongoing legal strategy and only to be used in the event a court of law gave the alternative slate meaning. Then why didn't they state that in the documents, Tom? Remember Andrew Hitt said, yeah, I wish we had. I wish we'd have written a clause like we're not committing fraud. We're just in case. But they didn't do that. Not in the state of Wisconsin. Not like they did in Pennsylvania. He said, we were not informed of any use of the alternative electors contrary to preserving the legal strategy and would not have approved of any other use. Right. A little bit more here, Dom. In the indictment against Trump, federal prosecutors heavily cite the actions of the slate of 10 Republican electors who gathered at the state capitol on December 14, 2020 to sign documents declaring Trump the winner on the same day Democratic electors cast the state's actual Electoral College votes for Joe Biden. Now, Dom, state Republicans have said the meeting took place on the advice of attorneys. Fine counsel like Cheesebro and Troopas Giuliani. And Giuliani, right? The indictment states that some fraudulent electors, including those in Wisconsin, were tricked into participating based on the understanding that their votes would only be used if Trump succeeded in lawsuits challenging the election outcome. That's your legal defense? We was tricked?
We. But of course, as mentioned, former Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Andrew Hitt specifically said in his testimony, or at least was provided to the J6, this is a terrible idea and it will fail. Where do I sign?
More from the Madison.com, Dom. Later in the document, prosecutors state that Trump and his co-conspirators, again, this the Trump January 6 indictment, that Trump and his co-conspirators ultimately used the certificates of these fraudulent electors to deceitfully target the government function and did so contrary to how fraudulent electors were told they would be used. According to the indictment, the shift took place after a November 18th memo from Trump campaign advisor Kenneth Cheesebro, which detailed the plan to Wisconsin attorney, wait for it, James Troupas, who represented Trump in the failed effort to overturn the state's 2020 election results. You know who would have insights on that?
Who would have insights on
Attorney
that?
Maggie Dawn?
Attorney Maggie Dawn. She might have something to say about Jim Troupas. Well, it should be great if she was here on time.
Don, the memo urged electors to convene on December 14th to, and here's a quote, preserve the alternative of Trump's Wisconsin elector state and the event Trump ultimately prevailed in the state, just in case, Dom. However, on a separate memo, December 6th, it marked a sharp departure from the November 18th document and advocated, and here's a quote again, Dom, that the alternative electors originally conceived of to preserve the rights in Wisconsin instead be used in a number of states as fraudulent electors to prevent Biden from receiving the 270 electoral votes necessary to secure the presidency on January 6th. Damn. It's Maggie Dawn, our favorite legal counsel, at least one of mine. Welcome, Maggie Dawn, friend of the devil's. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Good to see you.
Hey,
now,
Maggie,
we are talking about the advancement of the civil lawsuit against the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin, and we're recapping some of the events. And I don't know, but I suspect you might have seen some of the recent reporting of this newest Cheesebro memo that's come to light, the second one, the one that departed from the prior plan. Maggie Dawn, let me ask you, you sat across from Jim Troupas, effectively the Trump legal team, during the recount in Milwaukee County. First and foremost, recall for those that don't know the story, what were they trying to achieve through the recount process?
They were trying to stop it. There's no question about that. They were, and short of stopping it, they wanted to slow it down to such a snail's pace that Milwaukee and Dane counties would not have been able to meet the deadlines in early December.
And Maggie, what means did they utilize to try and stop? I know it was delay, but how? What'd that look like at the counting center?
Yeah, so it was a blank show for the first 2 days. So you have to imagine, if you've never been to the Wisconsin Center, but it's about when all the ballrooms are connected, it's like the biggest ballroom you could ever imagine. Its maximum capacity is in the many thousands of people for a seated event. So you can imagine how cavernous that is. And so all of the tables were set up in these aisles with the counters at each table. These are hand counts, by the way. It's hand counts then verified with machine counts. If there's a discrepancy, you go back to the hand count, you redo it with the machine. They all have to check out. There are basically cordoned off areas so observers can sit. You have nonpartisan seats that are designated. You have Trump campaign observer chairs, and you have Biden campaign observer chairs. Then you have monitors that are walking all around. Then you've got the lawyers. Then you've got all the staff to these election commissioners and the Milwaukee County's own election staff all in this room at the same time. When it started on the first day, so we were setting up for days. Mind you, this is in like the very dregs of COVID. It was November of 20. So no vaccines generally available. So trying to stand this up just from a logistics perspective was incredibly difficult. And then when we got there, basically when we started to count, every single Republican Trump campaign observer at every single, because they sort of take wards and then they break them down even further into counting stations, depending on how big the wards are. Every single Trump campaign observer was objecting to every single ballot. So nothing could be counted. By the end of day one, it was clear what the strategy was, which we will object to every ballot. And so what we had to do was ultimately ask the campaigns, please identify all of your objections to ballots, the bases for those objections, and effectively present us with a brief within 24 hours, and then the other side will have less than 24 hours to respond, basically. I think we actually did it on a 12-hour timetable. So we had 12 hours. They came in with a series of, I think, about 15 different objections. The Biden campaign had 6 hours to respond. Then we brought all of that before the Election Commission, which I'm not a part of. I'm just their lawyer. And the Election Commission then commenced to question the lawyers about each of the different objections and the arguments regarding each. And then they ruled on every single one of them. And then after that was done, effectively, you would just have election observers saying objection one, objection two, duly noted. And there were a group of those that we still decided had to be pulled out of the count and set aside in case a court were to later decide that those ballots should not be counted. So that's what we did. And again, there were maybe three or four categories where ballots would actually have to be pulled out of the count and not counted. And we preserved those. They were counted anyways during the recount, but we knew exactly what category of objection or objections they fell under, so that if during his federal or state court proceedings, a judge said, yeah, that's right, those shouldn't have been counted, we could have easily then subtracted them out of the count so that we could still meet that deadline. That structure of how to move through that was mine.
I know.
Basically had to sit down and go, how the heck are we going to do this if they're objecting to every ballot? And that was, all right, tell us all of your objections and we'll handle them all up front. And then you can just say 1, 2, 12, and we'll just keep counting. Thank
Maggie
you
Dawn,
much.
If I understand correctly, it was the Trump team through Attorney Jim Troupas and other counsel. Their effort was effective. They were effectively trying to throw out all the absentee ballots. Now, I'm talking about the litigation, not the actual recount. But their goal was to throw out something like 200,000 absentee ballots in Dane in Milwaukee County. What sort of timelines, how did the timeline of the recount affect the litigation, which went all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court by December 14th and only was upheld on a 4-3 by a Hagedorn? Maggie, how did those two things work together in terms of timing?
And you mean the recount itself and the lawsuits, including the one in state court?
Yes.
Basically, you have to do the recount in a way that will allow the judicial proceedings to play out. So you have to be, that was what was so challenging here from just a logistics perspective, which was, I don't want a court ruling to come down and then it's like, oh, let's start over with the recount. Because that really would have jeopardized the deadlines that applied to Milwaukee and Dane counties to complete the recount so that the electors could be certified in the ordinary course. And so that was the interplay. We effectively just said wherever the court cases are or where they are, it was up to the campaign lawyers at the recount to make those objections, and they paralleled the arguments that they were making in the court cases. So we had to create a clean record, preserve ballots or set them aside where appropriate, but figure out a way logistically to keep the recount going so that the legal proceedings could continue. And if a court wanted to see ballots, we had them court effectively segregated out for the various objections.
So how'd that whole recount turn out, Maggie?
Yeah, Biden's count went up by, I think, a couple hundred votes.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our very qualified guest and colleague in broadcast is Maggie Dawn. Except Dom and I never headed up the recount on behalf of Milwaukee County. She's got a little more insight. Stick around. Having trouble talking. More Maggie.
I'm calling my lawyer. It might not be too late to get out of this.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 59, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 81. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, lows level off around 58, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
From Madison, Wisconsin, Warner Park is the site of today's contest as the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters visit the Madison Mallards for Game 2 here in this series and the series finale as we have about 3 games to go towards the end of the regular season. And boy, the playoff race is hot right now. Wisconsin Rapids currently a game back of these Madison Mallards, and certainly a game in which yesterday they took it to them early. They won 10-5, and it started off by a Ty Johnson grand slam in the second. Madison got 3 runs back in the bottom half, and then top of the third, James Bornick, a 2-run shot, and then the fifth and the sixth inning, 2 more runs in each of those. Wisconsin Rapids was hot yesterday. 10 hits, 10 runs, and they only had 1 error in the field. So Madison, though, they out-hit Wisconsin Rapids, couldn't get any runs home. They only got about 5 of them. So the Rafters, they were on top of it yesterday, and they certainly had many guys get involved. Ty Johnson was one of those guys. He was unbelievable yesterday. 3-for-5, had a grand slam, 2 runs, a 5 RBI day. James Bornick was unbelievable as well. He went 2-for-4 with a 3 RBI day. So many guys were involved, and they certainly took it to this Madison team that was red hot coming into yesterday. They won their previous past 5 games, but the Rafters came into here, absolutely put a hurt on these Mallards, and they certainly have done well here at Warner Park. A 4-1 record, and they've outscored Madison 30-14 here. So a game in which today that could pose crucial to the postseason. If the Rafters win today over Madison, it would put them in first place because they have the higher winning percentage over the Mallards with only 2 games to go against Green Bay tomorrow and Saturday. And this playoff race here in the Great Lakes West, Green Bay's already clinched, but it's really between Wisconsin Rapids and Madison right now. And Mallards, you know, a team that has been playing well as of recent, other than yesterday where they only had 5 runs. They've been batting at .310 in their past 5, 44 runs, 58 hits, 41 RBIs, and they also have 12 home runs as well. They've had 45 strikeouts, also with 21 walks. So this Madison team as well, been batting a .286 in their past 10. They have so many guys that can get involved, but Wisconsin Rapids, they've really kind of slacked in their past 5 other than yesterday, which has been a great game for them, kind of really putting the momentum and kind of setting the tone in this series. They're batting a .195 in their past 5. 31 hits, 27 RBIs. They've had 31 runs because of it. So those timely hits have posed crucial to this Rafters team of keeping them alive. They've had a .263 against Madison. They've had 66 runs, 99 hits, but they've been struck out 92 times as well. Madison, though, had more strikeouts than Wisconsin Rapids yesterday, but the Rafters, it was the offense that really was big for them, and they certainly are going to need that today. They lead the season series 6-5. They end the Mallards' 2-game winning streak against Wisconsin Rapids yesterday. But I'll tell you, an opportunity, in arguably the biggest game of the season right here at Warner Park, because Wisconsin Rapids, I mean, right now, if they lose today, that would put them two games back with two to go. If they win today, it would put them just ahead, not on the games, but on the winning percentage with two games left. So, nonetheless, a huge day. They're a team that bats a 239. They're 21st in the league, 541 hits, which is 19th. But they're winners of 9 of their past 12, 12 of their past 16, 19 and 14. They're second in the Great Lakes West, 17 and 17 at home. But where they really do the damage is that road warrior mentality. They're 22 and 12 on the road. They have the best overall record in the Great Lakes West right now at 39 and 29. They're a half game ahead of Green Bay on the overall record, as Green Bay currently is at home against Fond du Lac, but they can't really worry about that. They're going to have to worry about themselves, because Madison, you know, they're looking to hopefully take control of this playoff race here in the second half. The Raptors, though, they have other ideas when it comes to that. So for Wisconsin Rapids, Will Haberstock toes the slab today. The guy out of Florida Gulf Coast previously attended the North Alabama, where he will be accompanied by his catcher, Levi Jensen. So another UNA product. And at first, James Bornick today. He's back on first base. Joseph Moroic at second. Kyle Carlson at third. Ty Johnson back at shortstop. Anthony Gallison at left. Laura Doy at center. And Alec Castillo at right field. So no Brendan Bobo. His time in Wisconsin Rapids has ended. His last game was yesterday, where he went 1-for-4 with an RBI. So Bobo, we wish him the best, but the Raptors have to move on from that. So they lose a little bit of hitting there, but Castillo nonetheless is a guy that really can help them out. So the DH for them, David Smigelski, a guy that was leading the team in batting average for a bit. He had a tough day yesterday at the plate, went 0-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. But nonetheless, Smigelski looking for a bounce-back type of day. As for Madison, Will Simmons toes the slab for them, a guy that has a 3-3 record, 13 games appeared in at the Sioux Falls, South Dakota native, out of UNC Chapel Hill. And so he's a guy that's allowed 45 hits this season, but he's had 41 strikeouts. So Simmons on the mound as Canyon Brown. So he switched off from David Melfi. Those two switch off as catcher. So Brown behind the plate. Chad McCann at first. Davis Hamilton at second. And Noah Sudica at third. Cal Fisher at shortstop. And Alex Harrell, boy, he has been swinging the bat at a red-hot rate as of recent. Batting a .638 in his past five. And he is a guy that's been batting a .455 in total. Jackson Tucker at center. And Leo Moreno at right field. So a opportunity for Wisconsin Rapids right now. I mean, we look at it. They have to just win this game, and whatever way they do so, it's got to come through the offense to set it going early, because that's what it really was. They were up 4-0 early, and then they took a 6-3 lead. So they just continued to respond against a Madison team that was eager to get back in that game, but the Raptors didn't allow to do so. I mean, 10 hits, 10 runs, that's been a big staple for them this season, because we've seen a lot of times where they've had more hits and runs here this past season, but that was not the case yesterday. Big timely hits, big home runs, and looking to do that here again today. So Wisconsin Rapids just has to look to find a way to win, and yes, that comes through the offense, but defensively, you know, they had a couple strikeouts. Bryson Parrish, you know, he did well on the mound. He gave up 8 hits, had 5 strikeouts, and Kyle Poso came in for 3 2/3 innings afterwards, and he had a strikeout. So 6 combined strikeouts in comparison to Madison, where they had, you know, 4 guys toe the slab for them. They had 11 strikeouts. So they had more strikeouts, more hits, but the Raptors, it was those big hits. Ty Johnson, man, oh man, a guy that's had a home run in 4 of his past 6, an RBI, at least an RBI, in 7 of its past 8. So he has been red hot, and they're going to need him today. Multiple guys are going to have to step up, and which is a lively environment here on this Thursday night at the Duck Pond. But we're going to take a quick step aside. First pitch coming up shortly here on WFHR.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.